Morning. Good to see everyone. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians. And be preaching from starting in chapter 6, starting at verse 10. I'm well aware that's out of order. I'll be coming back next week to chapter 5 and picking up in verse 22, and we'll kind of finish the book that way. I kind of mentioned this on Wednesday night, but it's interesting when you stand up and preach, and I think the best preachers preach to themselves first, which obviously I don't always do, but some passages, you want to absorb a little bit more before you stand up and preach about them. And so, next week's sermon, I think, is going to be very, very important for many of us. The passage is about husbands and wives and the marriage relationship, and then it's going to touch on children and parent relationships as well. And so I'd really encourage you to read through that passage and to pray about it and to think through some of the things it's teaching. And then I'm going to come back and we'll close out Ephesians that way. And so this morning we'll be in chapter 6, starting at verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter, which I'm going to read here. And then we will pray and then jump into the sermon. Chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have, and as we dive into your word this morning, I pray that you will teach us and lead us and instruct us. Father, show us in our own lives that you truly have given us everything that we need to live strong lives of faith, that it's all available to us, and that we just simply need to take and put on what you've already given to us. Help us never to be confused or even worse, to fall victim to the schemes of the devil and evil, but to always be aware and alert. Help us to learn to pray constantly for one another, for strength and service in your word. And Lord, once again, we pray for all those who are here this morning who have recently lost loved ones. We pray for your comfort and peace to descend upon those families and that you would strengthen them and draw them closer to one another, but also closer to you. We pray as a church that you will be with us and help us to grow. Help us to seek the maturity that we've been talking about and learning about for the past several weeks. Help us never to rely on ourselves and be prideful, but always to look with humility towards you to find grace. We thank you for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. I went back and looked in my files and discovered that this is a I discovered what I suspected, and that is that this passage is one I have never preached on before, which means I haven't ever gone through Ephesians before in totality. But I've always stayed away from this passage, and I got thinking about why, and I think that I heard a lot about it growing up when we'd have, you know, youth devotionals and such. It was kind of a common passage for those of us, not me, but some of the other guys to take up, because it has a lot of application to it. You get to talk about the spiritual traits that we are to live by that we can put on, and it's, you know, it was cool to talk about armor and knights and things like that, and the weapons of faith that we had and so on. But I also got thinking that I think I kind of had a bias against this passage, because I remember getting these little coloring pages that you can have of this warrior standing around with a shield and boots and a helmet and a sword, and you get to color it, you know, in class, you got to color in the different parts of armor. And so I think I came to associate this passage in kind of a juvenile way. It reminded me of being a child, and so I never really saw the power that was in the passage until I sat down and looked at it this time. And what this passage is telling us as we round out the book of Ephesians, and we've looked at the great things that God has done for us and given to us, and the free salvation that we have, that God bore all the pressure on, all the weight on, that he sent his own son to die for us, and he gives us salvation as a gift so that we can't boast about ourselves or argue with one another about who deserves it more. He gave it all to us, calls us to be mature. And now he closes this out by telling us that one of the biggest challenges that we'll ever face in our entire lives is the challenge to fall, to not stand firm, to give up, whether through our own means or because we've fallen prey to the schemes of the devil. And so what Paul is really telling us as we close out this letter here is that we have everything we need to be able to stand firm. Everything. And he outlines this by going through the classic armor and weapons that a warrior of the time in the military would wear. Something that he probably saw every single day when he was in jail being guarded. And he saw these things and he started to think about, what would this be like if these items were used for the Lord? What if we could turn these Roman centurions and these guards around to faith in the Lord, and they could use their weapons and their armor in a godly way instead of in an ungodly way? So we started making application, and he teaches us that we have everything we need. It's there, ready for us to take it up and put it on. Back when I was in late elementary school and early high school, there was a video game that I really liked to play on my Commodore 64 computer, and it was called The Bard's Tale, and it was a fun game. I played it a lot. But one of the things that we had to do in that game that took me a little bit of time getting used to is that you would accumulate weapons and armor, but you were just carrying them around. You had to do what was called equip them before you could use them. So you'd end up getting in this fight with some monsters and find out too late that you're using your bare hands and no armor because you hadn't equipped anything. It was there, ready to be used, but if it wasn't equipped, it was useless. And that's what Paul's telling us, even though we have everything. We've read all about that in chapters 1 through 3, and then we've learned the skills and disciplines that we need to take on to grow in maturity. But if we don't do anything about that, if it's there, ready for the taking, and if it exists, and we can share in that, but we don't actively take it on to do something with, it's going to become useless for us. And so Paul's teaching us at the very end of the book that we're fully equipped to be godly fighters of the faith, but we have to take that armor on and pick that weapon up and go out. And so that's what he's getting at. But he reminds us 3 or 4 or 5 times in verses 10 through 13 that we need to stand. I remember the first time we tuned into the show Survivor, and it was for the season finale of the very first episode. And there were 3 contestants left, and it came down to an endurance challenge to find out who would get to pass on to the finals. And for the endurance challenge, they had to stand leaning one hand against this kind of a pole. And if their hand ever came off the pole, they were eliminated. It was that simple. It looks like a simple challenge. All they had to do was stand and endure. And you can imagine what happened. The first person, they lasted quite a while. It was impressive. They several hours. But the first person ended up taking her hand off because she just lost concentration. And she fell in a metaphorical sense. Paul tells us we need to stand. It's easy for us to fall. Why do some people fall from their faith? They give up or they lose focus. In a different letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul provides some teaching from the Old Testament, and he says that this teaching is there as a way to provide examples of what it means for you to stand firm in your faith, and he provides a warning in which he says in verses 12 and 13 to be careful how you stand, lest you fall. And he's reminding us that no one among us is above a fall due to pride or giving in to temptation. And he provides these examples from the Old Testament about how the ancient Israelites were very prideful, and it led to their sin, and it led to them falling away from what God wanted. One of the reasons that we can fall, one of the reasons that we don't stand the way we should stand, is because of pride. We think we know better. We think that we're fully equipped on our own to go out and do what we need to do. And so we don't pay proper attention to our spiritual lives. If we pray during the day, it's when something critical comes up and we need to crank out a quick prayer to God for help in a specific moment. But we're not giving our attention to prayer in the early stages of our morning or when we have some extended time, maybe on a lunch break or in the afternoon, when we can dedicate some more time to prayer. If we're paying attention to the Bible, it's maybe in some cases because we're reading a quick devotional book that gives us a verse and a couple of paragraphs that we can get through in 3 or 4 minutes, and we call that our Bible reading for the day, and then we wonder why we go out and feel ill-equipped to handle the schemes of the devil that come and get in our face on a regular basis. We need more than that. We need to stand. But when we think that we can handle things ourselves, and when our lives become a matter of what we can focus on and the resolve that we have to solve problems, and we're not relying on God, we're living by pride, and we need to follow Paul's advice that he gave in chapter 10, but what we also see in 1 Corinthians, but what we also see here in Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to stand. Notice in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 that there is no command here to stand by our own strength and by the grace that we find for ourselves, but we are commanded to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We're only going to stand strong in our faith when we rely on the strength of the Lord. We rely on Him, and He gives us what we need to stand, and that's the first thing that we need to understand. That all standing by faith happens when we stand by the Lord's strength. When we see that our lives depend on Him and on the grace that He gives. He doesn't say, be strong, and then He puts a period at the end. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Our strength is found when we go to the Lord in humility, when we set aside pride. Another problem that we can run into is complacency. When we just coast in our lives. And probably we all go through both of those things at different times. We're prideful, sometimes we don't even know it. And it takes something critical to pull us back to the Lord. To awaken us to the fact that we've been going through life on our own strength. Not resting on the strength that is in the Lord. And when it comes to the question of complacency, we sit back and we can think about the times that we've done nothing more than go through the motions. Maybe we didn't know it at the time, but we were rolling into worship, not really thinking about what was going on, but we were there out of obligation. We cracked open a Bible a couple times a week just because we thought we had to. We'd throw out a quick prayer at the dinner table just to ask God to bless us. And when we go through life like that, even though we appear to be giving attention to the Lord, we all know that we're not really doing that. And sooner or later, we're going to wake up and feel a coldness or an emptiness within our our own lives within our hearts, knowing that the life that we have been trying to live has not been one that's being lived by the strength of the Lord, and we have to turn back to Him and find our strength in His strength. Anytime we feel weak, we need the strength of the Lord. He's going to give it to us if we go to Him in trust. We live by His strength. And when we feel strong in faith, it's because the Lord has built up that strength. He's given us His own strength to be strong at those times. And so in verse 11, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." I think there's a reason he says the whole armor of God. Sometimes we like to take on half armor. And we know that we can travel more quickly if we're not wearing this bulky, heavy armor, so we'll just take the sword with us. And he calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we say, hey, we can take the Word of God with us, and that's all we need. And when we do that, we miss the mark a second time, because now we're focused on, again, how we can use the Word to find strength and so on. But God wants us to put on the whole armor. And what does he talk about in that? In verses 14 through 18, he talks about truth. He talks about righteousness. He talks about the gospel. He talks about faith, and he talks about God's word. These are all elements that we need to understand and live in and live by. These are all things that come to us by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, that we have received in our baptisms that equips us to do the things of God. Where are we going to find truth? By going to the Word of God. Where are we going to find righteousness? By living out the Word of God. By resting in God. By living out the things, the character of God in our own lives as He shapes us. The gospel of peace, he says in verse 15. That's what we travel by. That gospel that saved us. That gospel that God instituted to save us is how we live. And so Paul is reminding us that our struggle is not just against ourselves. And it's not against other people that we sometimes think get in our way. And when we struggle with how to live, we often look towards other people and find reasons why, if so-and-so acted differently, I could be better. If my spouse didn't constantly nag me, I could do a little bit more. If my kids weren't always running around making noise, I could concentrate on God more. And we look towards other people, but what we need to see is that Paul, while he's in jail for his faith, he's been arrested by human beings because of what he's been doing. But Paul says, our struggle is not against humans, but against the evil beings in the heavenly places, against the devil and his schemes. Paul says in a different place that everyone who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. It's a truth that when we set ourselves to grow in our faith, there will be challenges. There will be. Because every time someone grows in their faith, lives by the strength of God, trusts Him more, it means they're moving further and further away from the devil and the schemes that the devil is trying to create as a way of confusing and frustrating people. So we have to recognize what it is that we're really in battle with. Find a way to put on the whole armor of God. It's not something that we physically put on, but it's a way of life that recognizes the dependency that we have on God. And the truth that we live by, and the righteousness that we live in, and the faith that we have in our lives, the faith that we've received from God, and the faith that has led us to our conversions because of God's word and this sword of the Spirit that he talks about, the helmet of salvation, all of these things that we have access to that we need to live by. And that's what he's talking about. Don't ever become complacent. Don't ever sit around with all of these resources that are there ready for you to take up and take on and wear and go out and do something with. And don't ever sit by and think, I don't know what to do. There's nothing there. Paul says everything's there. What can you do? If you don't know anything else to do, he says in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times. Any circumstance you're in, any situation you're in, any time of the day, anyone you're with, you can pray in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. And he goes on, he says, to that end, keep alert with perseverance. Now, that's a common theme that runs throughout the New Testament, at least, this theme of keeping alert and persevering. We can see Jesus teaching about it in the Gospels. We see Paul and Peter and other letter writers talking about keeping alert and persevering. Why do they talk about this? Because it's too easy to become complacent. It's too easy to lose alertness and to get a lack of focus on what we're doing. And so he reminds us to keep alert. One of the ways that we keep alert, one of the ways that we persevere, is to pray. And in verse 18, he just mentions it generally in the first half of the verse when he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. But then he goes on and he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. And so he lets them know that one of the ways to live and wear this whole armor of God and to confront life and to live in such a way that truth and righteousness emerges from who you are is to pray continually at all times with all prayer and supplication for yourself and for others. I want to think about prayer for a minute. We've seen in this book a couple of examples of Paul's prayers in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. And now Paul's pleading with them to pray continually for themselves and for one another. What do you imagine he wants them to pray for and about? He spent this whole time in this section of this letter talking about the spiritual struggle that they have. Not with flesh and blood, he says, but with evil and with the devil. And earlier he's prayed that the eyes of their heart would be open so that they would know and understand peace and the love of God. And they would come to a full and deep and mature understanding of these things. And so I imagine that what Paul wants them to pray for themselves and for each other, is a continual prayer for growth and for maturity and for openness, open eyes to see the spiritual struggle that's around them, to see the battles that they're in for what they truly are, to see what they're really up against and to find ways and resources so that they can handle these things and get through them and encourage one another. One of the best ways we can encourage other people is to actually pray for them. Not just in very general terms, not only for specific needs that they have, but for spiritual needs. I think Paul wants the church to be a praying community, a family of people that knows what's happening with each other because they know that the very spiritual struggles that they are experiencing are also being experienced by others around them. And as you pray for yourself and for the spiritual battles that you are facing down on a daily basis, take some time and pray for some others by name, not just generally. Pull out a church directory and go through 3 or 4 or 5 sheets a day and pray for these people. Pray for yourself and pray for them. And you're praying for them, but they're praying for you at the same time. Imagine if we were all doing this. Imagine if we were all recognizing the spiritual battles that we're facing. And that when we prayed for ourselves, we went through the church and prayed for strength and for enlightenment and for grace and for help to recognize what they're dealing with. To encourage them by going a step further and actually talking to people. Not just praying for them, but checking in with them on a Wednesday night or with a phone call on a Thursday afternoon to see how they're doing in their life. Not just to say, hey, how's it going? Make a short connection like that. But to actually see how they're doing in their life. I've been praying for you in this way. What else can I pray for? And what if we bonded together that way? What if we radically saw the book of Ephesians as not just a letter for me to preach through on Sunday and we'll move on to something else in a couple of weeks, but what if we saw the book of Ephesians much like the Ephesians themselves would have seen it when they were gathered one Sunday, and here comes a messenger, probably one of the elders, and he says, "We got a letter from Paul." And he stood up and he read that letter, and they learned that Paul was in jail. They've been praying for him. They're praying for his ministry. And now Paul's starting to talk about the spiritual struggles that they're dealing with. But let's not be overcome by those spiritual struggles. There's a reason that he spent half of the letter talking about what has been overcome. Do you see why he did that in chapters 1, 2, and 3? Half of the letter to show the victory that we have in Christ. Not a victory that we've worked for or earned, but a victory that God made, and then he just did nothing more than give it to us. It's our victory in Christ. We have it. We don't have to succumb to these spiritual battles and struggles. We don't have to give in to the fear that we encounter when we go out and we don't know how to face some of these difficult battles. We're a church family. We're a community. We need to pray for ourselves, but also for one another. We need to encourage others in faith by praying for them, encouraging them with words of scripture. We talked about that last week. Living our lives by giving thanksgiving back to God for all that he's done for us and given to us. That's the way of life he wants us to have. And he wraps it up here with a reminder to continually pray at all times. Know what's happening in your own life. Don't be fooled that you have everything under control. Don't be fooled into thinking that you can handle the problems that come up and you can just ignore people that are causing trouble with you. There might be a spiritual battle going on that you need to pray your way through, and you need others to help pray your way through that. Don't ever mistake or misunderstand what we're up against. Paul knows what he's up. He's not up against. He doesn't say, "I'm up against the Roman government here and I don't know how I'm going to solve these problems." That's not what he says. But that's what he's dealing with. But he knows that that's a symptom of the bigger problem, which is the problem of the devil trying to make problems for God and the world. And sometimes we get caught up in those problems. How are we going to solve those problems? We're going to pray. We're going to wear the armor of truth and righteousness and the shoes of peace. We're going to pick up a helmet of salvation. We're going to put a shield of faith on our arm. And we're going to take the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of God, the word of God. And we're going to pray like we've never prayed before. We're going to pray for ourselves and for each other, that they will be awakened to the battle around them, that they will be resourced with everything that they need to solve the problems that they encounter thanks to the devil, and that they will have the grace and the courage and the strength that they need to take up those weapons and that armor at the right time, to wear it and to engage in battle and come through it victoriously. That's what Paul is leading us to. That's where he's showing us the real battle is. That's what he's calling us to do, to pray. At the end of the day, what can we do? Sometimes we get overwhelmed. We just don't know. But let's go to prayer. We don't know who to talk to about the challenges we're facing, but we can always talk to God. We don't always know what's happening in the life of another person, but we can still pray for them and then go and find out and pray for them some more. Let us not leave here today not knowing that we are a family of God, and that he calls us to live differently, and he tells us what to do, and he gives us the resources that we need, and then calls us to pray. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer at this time, and after the prayer is done, we'll stand for our invitation song. And of course, during our invitation, it's the Lord's invitation. It's not mine or that of the Otisville Church. The Lord invites us to respond to him, and we can respond in any number of ways. Maybe we need encouragement for the battle that we're facing. Maybe we need to repent of some sin. We've been prideful or we've been complacent. Maybe we need to turn our lives over to God. We recognize that we've been, in some cases, living for the devil, thinking it was for ourselves or just against God, but we've been living for the devil, and we need to give that up, and we need to repent and give our lives over to God in baptism. where our sins will be forgiven and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift that sanctifies us and guarantees us our eternal life forever with God and gives us the strength and the resources that we need to do these very things. So at the conclusion of my prayer, we'll stand to sing, and if you need to respond, we'll ask you to do so by coming forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for this great and rich and powerful letter that you have given to us from your servant, Paul the Apostle, to the Ephesians. But Lord, there's so much application that we can make 2,000 years later as we read this letter. I pray, Father, for this entire church family, that we will take up the whole armor that you have given to us, not just part of it, not just those parts that we think are the most accessible, but all of it. Help us to see, Father, that you have given us everything that we need to live life to the fullest for you. Help us to understand that we are in a spiritual battle today where the devil is trying to pull us away from you so that your name will not receive the glory and honor that is due to you. And Father, help us to see that battle that we're in and to wear your armor proudly, knowing that we are serving you as we go out to encourage others, to lift up your name, to build up your family. And so, Father, I pray that we will take on your armor and that we will wear it. And I also pray that we will come to know even more fully what it means to be a family of yours. That we will see that even though we're a larger group and we don't, in some cases, all of us know each other, and some we know better than others, but Father, in some way, each one of us is connected to another in this room right now in a more deep way. Father, I pray that you would strengthen those bonds, that you would cause new bonds and new friendships and new relationships to be built. I pray that you will lead us to your truth, that you will cause us to become a people of prayer who pray fervently and diligently and continually for one another. May we offer prayer and supplication to you on an ongoing basis, praying for the spiritual growth and maturity and strength of one another. Father, may we learn what you have taught us from this book of Ephesians. May all glory and honor be given to you because of who you are and what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.